Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before that can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex. Since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How is my girl?
Hello. How are you, Cindy? I'm good.
Good. We had a fun show last week with Patty. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Patty was awesome.
We got a lot of funny emails and, you know, people like she's a lot more tough love than you and I, you know.
I could be tougher. I go out of my way to not be that tough. That's the thing.
Yeah, me too. We both are a little.
We go out of my way. Patty's like no nonsense. Just this is me, bitches. That's it. So
and learn from it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we so enjoyed her coming in. I'm so thankful that she did that. That was wonderful of her to share her time with us and her expertise. And she had a lot of fun, too. And she's so cute. She sends me a little text, "How did I do?"
<You know? Aww.
laughs> And I was like, oh, of course it did great, you know. And, you know, she jumped right in there.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I thought that she was fantastic. You know, and I love the fact that she, you know, that she's not sugarcoating anything. Sometimes when you go and you put the effort into sugarcoating things, like I make more of an effort just to try to deliver bad news nicely.
Right.
You know, but I don't like to sugarcoat. And the reason why is because as you're sitting here and you're changing your language, you know, as you're changing the way you're saying things, you know, people... It could be open for interpretation, and you don't want people to miss the message because you're too busy trying to be nice and trying to spare people's feelings, you know? So, I mean, there's ways to say things that, you know, that are still sympathetic and nice, but at the same time delivering a very, very tough message, you know? But sugarcoating doesn't serve anybody. It makes it harder on the person delivering the news because you've got to figure out how the hell you're going to say it, you know? And it makes it even worse on the person's receiving it because you're too busy dancing around it. They're going to miss the message. So
right.
I love the fact that she was just straightforward to the point.
And she's funny, too. We can always get away with a little more if we're funny.
Funny. You know? Very, very funny.
I mean, her sense of humor always, you know, cracks me up. And, you know, it was wonderful because we don't very often have a special guest, so it was a little bit different. And, you know,
stepping back from our... like a guest like that, so that was cool.
Right, stepping back from it, and she got a kick... I'm sure she got a kick out of this story with you and meeting Lisa. And I love the way you sing. I love the way you were singing. I was really, really jaded.
Oh, I was, though. I mean, come on. If you go back into, like, some of our earlier shows and you listen to the things that I say then and then you listen to what I say now, you know, I mean, even my tonality has changed, you know, as I've matured and as I've, you know, just realized that, you know, nobody's you could blame the other person all you want. I would love to be able to sit here and just blame my ex for everything. I would, you know, it would make it a lot easier if I could just say it was all her fault. But you know what? It's not her fault because she only did what I allowed her to do. It was my fault, You know, my misery was my fault because I allowed it. I allowed somebody else to take that piece of me. I allowed somebody to take advantage of me. I allowed somebody to treat me that way. So she only did what she was able to get away with, which makes it my fault. You know, you can sit there and try to blame somebody else, but people will only give you what you allow them to give you. If you say the words no and you're willing to walk away, you'll be surprised what you get.
Right, exactly. And remember, when I first met you, I don't remember many people that I read their first reading. I have to be honest with you. I tend to forget, uh-huh. And if they never come back again, I probably would never remember I read them, okay? But mm-hmm. for some reason, I could remember you being in my apartment, and we were in my bedroom and where I used to set up a reading. And I just yep. remember your reading almost verbatim, like what it was. And I remember, I mean, which is odd for me because I didn't know that you would end up doing the radio show or that we would be anyway connected. But yeah. I remember trying to point out to you people who were unfixable. And I don't think I had that term yet, but I was trying to explain the narcissist to you, you know, you were getting it, but still like not getting it. And
I didn't want to get it. There's a difference. I was getting it. I didn't want to get it because I did not want to believe that that was the truth, you know, and that's a lot of people that they see the truth in front of them. They call radio shows to find out if they should leave. They know they should. If you have right. to ask a psychic whether or not you should leave somebody, if you have to have a conversation with somebody, I mean, and this was a common theme, you know, with one of our callers last week, you know, she's sitting here going, I don't like this person. He's not a likable person. Then why are you with him? Why are you asking this question? If you don't like the person you're with, that's a problem. That's
exactly.
not a relationship that you should be saving. You don't like them. You might love them, but if you don't like the person that you're with, fuck love, man. So
exactly.
one of two things has to give. Either you need to come to a point where you can start liking this person and figure out why you don't like them, or you need to reconcile with yourself and say, you know what? I need to walk away from this, you know, because I don't like who you are. I love you. I will always have love in my heart for you. I just don't like you, and we can't be together.
Exactly. And that's something that we always use the little expression here. We don't fall out of loving people. We fall out of liking them. And
exactly. Exactly.
And you hit the nail right on the head, because if you're asking me if you should stay or go, you know, you don't ask that when you're in
yeah.
A really good place.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ask that. You the worst thing imaginable thing is that person might leave you. So
yeah.
it's questions like, you know, if you're asking this question, you know, and you're asking them for more than a year, it's time to seriously
exactly.
take a foot out of this relationship and figure out what's going
mm-hmm.
on here. Because
listen, I mean, if you want somebody else, if you just want another opinion, you know, if you have had some bad experiences and you want just confirmation of what you're feeling, that's one thing. But to flat out say, hey, listen, should I stay or should I go? Without having an inkling of whether or not you should, or trying to force yourself for a yes and looking for somebody else to say no, you're just lying to yourself. You know, you're just trying to get somebody else to tell you to do something that you already know. And that's not part of your growth. So you can do that all you want, but your failure to recognize that and your failure to say, listen, this is how I feel, and now I'm going to act on my feelings, and I'm not going to leave the heavy lifting to somebody else, you know, I mean, that's not growth on your part just because you choose to leave later. That means that you're setting yourself up for another one of these relationships until you have the strength to act on your own behalf.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, keep remembering that we know the answers. That's the funny thing. We always know the answers. We just don't always want to hear them. So listen to what, you know, what's going on in your own body, in your own mind, and that feeling of discontentment and not being happy in a relationship, that just keeps growing. It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
I find
nope.
I tend to be a person that stayed too long in relationships and didn't move fast enough. But
yep.
from that moment when I thought this isn't right, it might take me years to figure it out that I don't belong there. But I always knew the answer. Sometimes we just don't want to hurt people. Sometimes we don't want to be alone. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we might not want to, you know, end something. But the bottom line is it's fear. Fear, the fear of the unknown, fear of hurting someone, fear of being alone. A lot of people really tell me, and I hear this all the time, is they don't want to be alone. They're not. They don't like the person and they're miserable. But they're just afraid to be alone. Now, that's a terrible thing. We got to learn to like ourselves and not be afraid to be alone and enjoy that alone time. And it's important. That's why you're staying. And a lot of people just stay because they don't want to be alone. And that really isn't a great reason for staying. You know, it really isn't. And, you know, just I hope people that if you're thinking about leaving or going, look inward and figure out, and you know, what's going on there. Because we really do know the answer. We just don't move fast enough. It's the same with a job. A lot of times people stay in a job too long. They're unhappy. You know, and when we start staying too long where we don't belong, that depression gets in there. And once we get depressed, then it's really hard to move our life forward. So I'm always telling people, don't stay so long that you're depressed. Because when you're depressed, you can't even get out of bed, let alone make a big life change. Don't
but
do
the
oldest chick in
though,
the book,
you know,
get depressed.
Oh, yeah, but at the same time, though, too, I mean, and this is not necessarily for people of my generation or your generation, but for the younger generation. We have been pumping these kids full of go chase your dreams and go follow your passion. You know what the difference between having a passion and a calling is and just having a job? A lot of times it comes with acknowledgement and it comes with time, because, you know, the more accomplished you can get at something, the better you feel at it. And I think that these kids today, they're so caught up in finding what their passion is, they're completely forgetting that there's work to be done before you get to that level of passion. You know, it's not enough just to say, yes, I'm passionate about music, but not learn how to play an instrument and not do anything to further that. You know, I'm passionate about swimming, but you know what? Well, if you're not going to be an Olympian, you're not going to just all of a sudden, you know, be an Olympian at 20 years old, where are you going to cultivate that passion? You know, it's got to have some sort of practicality there, you know, but people find these things with work and with accomplishment. So you know what? Be the best version of yourself, put the work in, put the time in and give it, you know, give it its fair chance. And if you don't start developing, you know, an aptitude or you don't start developing a passion or a like for what you're doing after you've put in that amount of time, move on by all means, you know. But I see these kids in my office now. They're all in their early 20s. And it's like, I just want to do something I'm passionate about. Well, what are you passionate about? I don't know. Well, if you don't know what you're passionate about and you know it's not this, you know, why do a shitty job here? Why not get some accolades? You know, why not get noticed and put yourself on the map? Because you'll be surprised, you know. I mean, if you start getting recognized doing what you're doing and you show an aptitude for it, you'd be surprised what you develop a passion for.
Exactly. So with that, I think we have a caller. If you want to talk
so many
with
callers.
Nicole,
oh,
please describe what they have to do, because, of course, Blog Talk Radio is and tell people how to get through to us
of
if you
course.
Want to talk.
Of course. Yes, so we do have a lot of callers right now. Not very many people have pressed the number one. That is the magic number, people, and that is going to let me know to pick you up and bring you into the chat room so that I can screen your call. So one person did press number one right now on my board here. I have to go check my second page, but we're going to go right into the first caller. As usual, we do not screen the first call, so please don't be nuts. I will cut you off if you are. But just so that you know that we're speaking to you, the last four digits of your number are 0057, and I look forward to anybody else pressing the number one so that I can pull them into the chat room. So here we go with 0057. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Hello, you're live and on the air, and who is this?
My name's Nicoletta.
Okay, Nicoletta, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Queens.
Okay, so you've been waiting a long time. There must be something on your mind. Why don't you share with us what you need guidance or what you called in for tonight?
I guess I'm calling to, I guess, get some guidance or some feedback. I don't even know what the right word is I'm looking for here. I guess I'm just calling to see how a certain someone that has been a part of my life on and off for a while, like, I guess what is going on or...
Okay, is this supposed to be a romantic relationship we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, and, you know, I love that, you know, the way you're speaking, because it seems like nobody knows what it is they have anymore with people. And I know the new word is situationship. You know, it's, which seems like an awful big word for dysfunction. I don't know, but
yeah, I was gonna say that sounds like a, like it has such a negative connotation to that. I don't understand that word. Yeah,
it's not. Neither am I. I'm like, as a dating expert, I have to learn all these terms. I'm like, really, situationship? Huh.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like a shitty ship to me, you know. I don't think that's a good word, but how long have you had this person in your life?
Well, I've known this person for almost 4 years now, actually.
Okay, so Nicole and I always know that we always say relationships work in the 5-year cycles. So 4 onto 5 is always when God starts saying, fix it, leave it, do something. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You can't keep it in the state it's been, because it's time for it to either, you know, shit or get off the pot here. Like, what are we? I mean, I could see that this person cares about you and all of that, but there's a lot of commitment issues showing up here. Have you figured out this person has commitment issues?
No.
Okay, so do you think you have commitment issues?
I don't think so. I mean...
So why doesn't it move forward? I mean, if you want it to be more, why isn't it more?
Well, I don't... That's the thing. I don't know that I want it to be... I don't necessarily know that I want it to be more. I'm kind
okay,
of...
So,
okay. I don't know. It's strange. I guess I'm kind of okay with the way things are for right now. But I don't know if because part of me is just kind of like, I don't want to say in denial, but I don't know if it's that maybe I'm just enjoying whatever the time we spend together. Like, I don't know.
Okay, if you were happy, you wouldn't call into our show, okay? If you were really happy with what it is. And being with someone for 4 years, I don't know, how old are you? Do you mind me asking you at this point?
I'm in my 30s.
Okay. So, you know, when you're in your 30s and you're with someone and you're not sure what it is, that could determine your whole future at this point. You know, do you want to be married or have a family? Is that in your wheelhouse at all?
Yeah, I mean, I would like that. I definitely would like to have, like, that, you know, partner for life, ride or die, you know.
Right, of course. And what's happening is your generation is unaware of how old they're getting. And I have, like, so many clients, women that are now in their 40s, 45, 48, that have been getting readings since they were in their 30s. And they kind of felt like you did. They didn't know what they wanted. They had guys that didn't know what they wanted. And now they're coming back in their 40s freaking out because they're panicked out. They're never going to have a family. They're never going to be a mother. None of that's ever going to happen. And if you want that, you're at the age where staying with someone for 4 years without knowing what it is or where it's going could go on like this another 4 years. And,
right.
You know, and it's at this point where the 4 into 5, it's seriously thinking, is this the person I want to spend my life with? If it's not, then you're kind of wasting your time because the time you're spending with him, you could be looking for someone else or dating other people and finding that forever person. So it's really, what do you want? I mean, if, you know, some people don't want commitment. They don't want anything. That's fine. And you could go on with this forever if that was making you happy. But,
right.
You know, it does look like he cares about you a lot. How often do you see him?
I guess we just kind of hang out whenever we hang out, to be honest. It's not like, you know, we see each other on steady days during the week or anything like that.
Okay, and are you supposed to only see each other? Have you had that talk?
No, because I'm not holding myself back. Like, I'm not closing the door off to anyone.
Okay, good. Because, you know, if you're not exclusive, then, you know, you have the right to date and see other people and do all of that and see what's there. But you must have some feelings for him. And what I have, you know, is way too many clients that had this booty call, fuck buddy, friends with benefits hookup thing going on for years. Mm-hmm. And then they want me to do an immediate reading because they're totally out of their minds because, you know, he says, now I can't see you anymore because I have a girlfriend. And they're like, what do you mean you have a girlfriend? You could commit to her. You couldn't commit to me. And meanwhile, she demanded that commitment, and he gave it to her. And here's a woman waiting 4, 5, 6, 7 years for a guy she thought might turn around to be the guy, and he's not. So it's almost setting yourself up for hurt unless, you know, because what would happen if he told you tomorrow, well, I have someone else? How would you feel at that point?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say that it wouldn't be disappointing, but at the same time, I don't know that I would necessarily be devastated over it either, because my approach to this time around is not how my approach has been to whatever we've had in the past. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, of course. But again, you're on 4 into 5, and the universe can't help you bring this forward or do anything with it unless you know what you want. So
right.
If you don't know what you want, you're not going to get any guidance from the other side. What they might do is at the 5-year mark, God kicks us in the ass and moves it forward one way or the other, brings you somebody, him somebody, you know, something happens. It will be outside of your control at that point. But you figuring out, like, if you wanted him and, you know, I want to make this work and I want commitment, well, then you could do things or say things that could make that happen. But as long as you're happy with it, it's not going to move forward. I mean, I would say you've got some personality traits of a closet commitment phobic. You want love, but you're scared. And it could be because you've been hurt before. But at this point, bear in mind, you are in your 30s. And,
right.
You know, how fast did it go from 18 to 28? It went pretty fast. How fast is it now when you're in your 30s? It goes faster, 30s into 40s and 50s. And I wouldn't be so adamant as I am now about this, but I've been doing, you know, relationship guidance for almost 24 years now. And what I've seen in the last decade is that so many women are just so deprived of home, motherhood, children, commitment, and they freak out when they hit 45, 48, 50, and they're so depressed. I mean, the depression that they're feeling, though. But if you want that and you're in your 30s, you got to start seriously thinking, that's what I want. Because otherwise, it's not going to happen. And you'll just be drifting with this. I don't see him ending this, really. I mean, he seems to be pretty happy with you being his booty call or your friend with benefits. And he enjoys your he enjoys your company. I see that. Mm-hmm. At some point, you know, if you want more, then you're going to have to, you know, say it to him. Because it doesn't look like he'll bring it up.
Right.
You know, like I don't see him saying, oh, yeah, I want you to be my girlfriend. I don't see that here. And it's probably because why should men commit? You know, the 21st century male is the worst master over women of any time in history. Historically, women had arranged marriages. The men made the money. They couldn't divorce them. They couldn't leave. But at least they got home respectability and children. This is like, you can be my booty call, but not my girlfriend. I don't want a commitment. I don't want to grow up. I don't want to do that.
Right.
And so women are kind of letting men sort of call the shots. And yet it's not right. You know, at this point, if you want more, you know, and remember we were talking before you got in the air, like Nicola was, you know, saying you can't blame other people. If we allow someone not to do this and move forward, no man is going to commit to if he doesn't have to. Okay,
right.
And just, you know, last night, my daughter, Shauna, who's listening, she's telling me of a friend of hers that she knew for years. He, when his girlfriend broke up with him and said, look, I'm not just going to do this. You can't see other people. You can't do all that. Or I'm not doing this anymore. And he said it was the worst week of his life when she broke up with him. And he married her, and they have a baby, and they have a family. I mean, she finally said, I'm not doing this anymore. But as long as she was willing, for years he was willing to go along with that. So maybe you have to do some soul searching. Do I want this to go anywhere? Is it keeping me from finding somebody or not? Am I happy with what I have? Because if he would commit to you, would you think you would want to commit to him? If he would give you that, let's try it as boyfriend, girlfriend. What do you feel that you might do?
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But I don't know if, again, that's because, like, I've known him for so long, so, like, that comfort zone is there. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't be speaking because, like, we have a lot of history. You know, there's been hurt there. There's been disappointment. So it's like, I know that iteration. So I don't want to just, like, shut it down right away and say definitely not. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know. It's something I would have to, like, think about. I wouldn't be opposed to the idea of trying it if he ever said, you know, let's give it a shot.
Right. And, again, you have a lot of baggage from the past that's hard for you to forgive. But can you see, oftentimes men are screwing up all over the place, and plenty of women are screwing up all over the place. And the other person takes them back. Or, you know, started as one thing and then started as a girlfriend and more committed, and now I don't want that. And then women are settling for less than what they started with. I mean, were you ever his boyfriend, girlfriend? Were you ever in a committed relationship with him?
No, we never got to that level.
Okay, and again, if you don't get to that level with a person, you don't even have any right to really be hurt no matter what they do.
Right.
Because there's no built-in commitment here. There's no, I owe you anything or we're anything to each other. So the problem with your generation is it gets very mucky and murky, the waters, and people don't know how to deal with it. And most people can't forever be in this, like, no man's land. It does start to trouble them or wonder what I am to you. And, you know, I don't see him going to leave you anytime soon. He's probably perfectly content to have it the way it is. I do see you moving on because what I'm seeing here is you being brought a soulmate, someone who is ready, willing, and able to commit to you.
Okay.
And, you know, he'll be the one who loses at that point.
Right.
And, you know, just if you get so comfortable not committing to people, it becomes harder to commit when the relationships come along. So, you know, think about what you want. Do you want a committed relationship? Is that what you're looking for? If you don't want it, then this is probably about as good as anything. He's the devil, you know, at least. And he's someone that it doesn't look like he wants to hurt you. It just looks more like he doesn't know what he wants at this point. So, you know, there's nothing bad in your cards. You actually have a very good five-year period opening up. Pretty much anything you want is yours. You just have to figure out where you want. But I want you to, all of my, you know, we have a lot of listeners in their 30s. I want you girls to realize, if you keep doing what you're doing, I'm so tired of the thousands of clients that I have that are coming here crying now because of what's happened, that they really realize, oh, my God, I don't know if I'm ever going to have that family or that life. And,
right.
And if you want it, then you have to seriously go after it. If you don't want it, then there's no problem here. But
yeah.
Think about, you know, there's a little bit of a midlife crisis showing here, an early one for you. And an early midlife crisis is, oh, where am I going for the rest of my life? And I don't know if you're feeling it consciously, but it's showing up here in the cards. Do you have any of that going off in your head? Where
yeah,
am I going?
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, and that's a little bit of a midlife crisis. And do us a favor and call in again in like a month and let us know if you've started to want to move this forward, you know, or if you said anything to him. And,
okay.
You know, he doesn't seem like a bad guy. I don't see that here. He seems like a nice enough guy, but he just has his own issues. And sometimes people are just afraid of commitment. And they're afraid to get a divorce. They're afraid to, you know, if their parents have gotten divorced, they don't want to get divorced. And a lot of it affects our ability to commit and have a relationship. But I want you to think about why, of all questions in the world, did you call in with that one? So you must be wondering where this is going.
I think
and unless you move
more,
it forward,
like,
I don't see it moving forward. I mean, you're the one that's going to have to be more proactive if you want it to move forward.
Yeah. I think I was just wondering more, like, what his real feelings towards me
were.
Oh,
yeah, I see he has real feelings for you. I mean, he cares about you. You're actually his dream girl, which is showing up here from head to toe. And if he were ready to commit, it would probably be you. And, you know, he has real feelings for you. He's just scared. He's very scared. You know, and, you know, it's not that he's using you. I don't see that. But, you know, he's kind of content with the way it is.
And right.
And think about it. He gets his cake and eat it too.
Yeah, of course.
It doesn't challenge his life or make him have to grow up. And I will tell you, 21st century men are boys. We're like mommy to boys. Okay,
yeah.
They don't want to grow up. There's also a problem that we always talk about on the show, internet porn, where men are masturbating so much they barely need to see women. In the past, men didn't do that. They wanted to see women regularly,
right.
Admit to them for sex. So
yeah.
There's a lot going on that are making it really hard for women to get guys to grow up. So
right.
I don't think he's going to grow up without you maybe stating what you need or want. But in terms of him caring about, yeah, probably when you brought this other person, he's going to probably like be kicking himself in the head that he didn't commit to you. But
yeah.
You know that Beyonce song, if you like it, put a ring on it. I think, you know, if you like it, at least call it a girlfriend, would you please? You know, please. You know, so just
yeah.
Do call in and let us know, because just asking this question, just bringing this up to you, the universe and your spirit guides, will start to give
mm-hmm.
you some answers. You have to ask
okay.
the question for answers to come. Like you probably didn't,
right.
you didn't even know what the question was. You hadn't even posed it, but you know that something has to give. Well, you put
yeah.
it out to the universe, and they will guide you on this. So formulating our question is half the battle. So call us in and let us know what happens.
Definitely.
Well,
thank
good
you
luck
so much.
To you. Thank you.
Thank
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh, we have Anna called in from
yes,
Chile. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe
yes,
she called in tonight.
Yeah, well, we have Anna. And for those of you guys who don't know, Anna is a longtime listener of the show, and she does call in every so often to check in and let us know how she's doing. Well, Anna wants to know, you know, she's going through a little bit of a career transition, Cindy, so she wants to see how that's going to look. She is 6 months pregnant. I don't know if you know, we were in touch with her prior to that happening, but yes, she is 6 months pregnant, so congratulations, Anna. And last but not least, she just wants to say hello because she misses us. So here we go with Anna.
Hi,
hello, Anna.
Anna.
Hello.
Oh, Anna, you were listening to what I said to the last woman, and I think you're the right
yeah.
person to have, like, talk after that, because maybe you
oh,
could briefly
goodness.
Sum up some of your dating experiences, and you had to go to Chile to find a husband. I know women are
yeah.
outsourcing. They're leaving the country. So
true.
Tell us a
it
little
really
bit about
true.
Your experiences with men and what were they were like.
Oh, my goodness. It was not easy, and you've been helping me for probably 10 years now, but I had, you know, many, I don't even want to call them boyfriends, but lots of guys I dated, and I tried, and I did all the right things and followed the advice, and it was not working. I just couldn't make it happen no matter what I did, what I tried. It just wasn't flowing. And so, yeah, I got married. We got married maybe 6 months ago now, a little bit more, and it happened pretty quickly with my husband now. We had met and we're married a year later, and it was a very different experience. So I can definitely relate to what the prior caller was saying, because it's not easy. It's not all her fault, but we still have to deal with it.
Right. And so you must have called in for something about you. How does it feel to be pregnant? You enjoying it?
Good. Yeah, I do. I love it. It's really good. Baby's coming in April. It's going to be a boy. So
oh, wow.
Exciting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a whole long story, but it's going to be a boy. So we're excited. And yeah, talking to Auntie Cindy on the phone.
Oh, wow. And this is really great. And of course, you were a little fed up with the dating
oh,
world
yeah.
back. And that's why you know, you finally said, and you sort of followed your instincts, right? You sort of,
you know,
Chile of all places, did you just feel like your soulmate might be there? Did you have a little inkling of that, or did you just spontaneously
go
there?
No, honestly, I really did not know what I was getting into. I thought it was going to be very different. And I got a job that offered me a visa here. So it was really for practical reasons that I ended up here for the most part. And then, you know, I met my husband and we ended up staying. But we had to go through kind of what you're talking about before of saying, do you want to do this or not? Because it's not personal, but I need to know what's going on with my life, you know. And I think what was made it different is that there were really issues of, you know, if you want me to be here with you, I need a visa. We need to get married. We need to figure out financial things. You know, I just couldn't continue without those things. It just wouldn't work. So it was really a very practical thing. It wasn't super hugely romantic, but now that the practical things are done, it's more romantic, if that makes any sense.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, I mean, it was City Hall. It wasn't a big production at all. And we actually made the rings after we got married, but as you know. But, yeah, but now things have kind of settled down and it all worked itself out.
But wasn't he a little afraid of commitment, too,
a
bit there?
Yeah, yeah, he wanted to do a civil union instead of a marriage. And I kind of had to say, you know, I'm sorry, that doesn't work for me. Partly for practical reasons, but also I really had to demand respect. And the thing is, he really responded to that I said, no, I really need you to show me respect and put a ring on it and be my husband or I got to go. And he really responded to that and kind of leveled up, I guess I would say. But yeah, that was a big part of it. It was not easy. I really had to be willing to walk away. And I knew I wouldn't have to deep down, but I had to be willing to.
And was it scary when you were, like, at that point?
Yeah, it was really scary. It was really scary. And it wasn't just me. It was his mom and his aunt and all of us sitting him down saying, you know, if you love her, put a ring on it. If not, let her go. And, you know, and that's how it worked out. And he had a little temper tantrum, and then he came around, and he's really happy that we're married now. But, yeah, we definitely had to do that whole thing.
Wow, but I love the way you were saying, you know, kind of scared. But, you know, now you've moved it forward, and I know that you always, you know, wanted to be a mom, and, you know, you were getting nervous, too. There was a point where you were wondering if that was ever going to happen for you.
Yeah, because exactly what you said, and also I was from big, you know, coastal cities in America where the dating climate is not easy, as you well know, and it just, I could not find a man who wanted the same things I did in America. I just couldn't. And that might not apply to other people, but that was my experience.
Wow.
And, you know, they wanted someone who was 10 years younger, more conventionally, whatever, just over and over and over. It was, I like you, I like hanging out with you. But it was always this feeling of being judged for not being enough and some kind of, I felt like I was, I don't know how to say it. I felt like I was being rated or scored, and there was always people criticizing me and telling me, you're not this enough, you're not that enough, you're not enlightened enough, you're not spiritual enough, you're not fit enough. It was always some kind of criticism, and I just couldn't take it anymore. Yeah, that was my experience. But
wow. And so now that you called in, if you have a question about your life now that you've helped us.
Yeah, definitely wish her, the woman listening, luck. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Now that I kind of, my life has settled down a little bit, I'm going, what do I want to do?
Isn't that funny? Because you're so smart and so creative, and it's harder for certain people to figure out what they want to do when they grow up. And you've had certain careers, and not all careers are meant to last forever. Sometimes you do something for 5-10 years, and the problem with older souls is they get bored. Like, if they've mastered a particular career, now it should be like, okay, I've mastered this, now I should stay, I could coast the rest of my life. But nope, older souls, once they've mastered something, they go, oh, this is boring, now I need something else.
I know you were
doing some books and doing their books and writing. Are you doing any of that? Because that's showing up here. Your writing career looks very good here.
Really? I kind of, you know, I have a couple things at Amazon, and they just kind of stay there, and every once in a while I get a little something from them, but I haven't been doing that, although it's funny you say that because it kind of occurred to me the other day again. No, I've been doing some online teaching a little bit. And then my husband has a small business, so we're getting by. But it's like you said, I feel for the amount of work we're doing, and I feel weird saying this, but for how good we are at what we do, I feel like we're not getting the money equal to that. It's not evening out. And so I'm going, I really need to be making some more money here. And, yeah, I want something more creative. I don't know. I mean, I like having the kind of easy job that I can do a little bit, and for now that's good, but long term I really feel, I don't know, I feel like I want to have a little business or something, but I just kind of, one day I go, I want to have a restaurant, the other day I go, I want to do artwork, and I keep changing it up. I can't make up my mind.
Well, it's these, you might be have a restaurant and you might do your artwork. I mean, it's not always either or for people.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they're juggling a lot of careers. The artwork looks good here too, you know, your crafts that you're doing. And the thing about it is, if you're going to do your books and the crafts, you're going to have to market better, because otherwise you're not going to sell them. So, you know, just putting your energies where they need to go will be important. I do see better money in the next
good.
2 years for you. You got the Queen of Pentacles, which is a woman who makes a lot of money, and she's happy with
good.
It. And it may combine all of your skills here. Somehow, when you're a creative person, I almost see like two or three different jobs here. You're doing the writing, you're doing your craft, you're doing some teaching. I mean, you don't have to have just one career. You know, that's the thing. Sometimes it's three part-times that add up to a whole big career, you know. Eventually, you're going to find your way. And also, you haven't had your baby yet. And sometimes having a baby might open up a career choice that you never knew. If I didn't have my daughter, Shauna, I would have never known how to create a children's entertainer. When I took entertainment, when I threw her a party when she was three, a very bad clown, I said, oh, I was a theater major. I can create better entertainment than that. And I started a children's entertainment company, but I would not, and it was very lucrative, and I would not have known about that career unless I had her. So sometimes you just, you know, follow the steps. I'm supposed to have a baby, and let's see where that may lead you to. And, you know, you're going to try to be like a stay-home mom and work from the home or something in the beginning. Is that what you want?
Yeah, that's what we want to do at first, and then hopefully, you know, as the baby gets a little bit older, I can have my own little business on the side grow a little bit. And I also help my husband with his business a little bit, but it's more his thing, and I do some of the paperwork and stuff in English and whatnot. But yeah, that's pretty much the idea. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's all very doable here. All right, so, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about it. It'll kind of come to you. You know, try this, try that, see how you feel. A lot of people don't know what they want to do when they grow up. There's no doubt about it, you know.
Really?
But what's been channeled to me is self-employed people have the best chance of survival in the millennium because, you know, corporations aren't set out to be job banks. They don't really care. And there's not a lot of loyalty between employers and employees. So if you could figure out a home-based business or a business that you can do that becomes lucrative, it's probably your best bet here. And I do see a lot of teaching showing up. So
really?
The teaching is showing up, the online and all of that. So, you know, but money won't be a problem. And you relax a little bit.
Okay, good. I'm a little stressed about it right now.
Like, your husband's business looks like it's going to grow too.
So, yeah, I have a feeling it will. He's really good at what he does. So.
Now, God knows you need money for this little baby. So put it out to God. And what I would advise you to do is tell God, I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to do when I grow up.
Okay.
Can you send some guidance, please?
Okay.
And remember, the word for the 21st century is reinvention. Because some jobs are going to come and go. Others are going to be brand new created. And if you're going to create a business, just look at what needs doing and figure out, can I do it? Because you're very creative, you're very smart, and all of that, and you've managed to survive this long in your life. And, you know, you've been through some rough years, and this is so much better. You're also getting very, very psychic. That's what's showing up here. I hope you're paying attention to your psychic abilities that are growing.
Yeah, I kind of shut them down for a while, and I'm willing to open them back up again. Yeah.
Okay, because that will help you get your own answers as far as the career goes. You need a little bit of courage. Don't lose your courage. It gets a little bit scary. And again, once you have a baby, your career has to figure out how can I have that, be a mom, and make money. It's a lot for a woman to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are we going to do it all? Because, you know, women have to be superwomen now. I don't think the world didn't get easier for women.
No.
It got easier for men because they only have to make half the income. But women have taken on the financial strain and still most of the housework and caring and all of that. So I do see for women it's gotten a little bit harder.
Yeah.
And you want to make money and you want to do that. You can always make money. You can't always make babies. I'm glad you decided to make a baby. Do you want another one after this? Because you're going to get pregnant very quickly again. So.
I mean, no guarantees, but yeah, we're happy about that. Yeah.
Okay, good.
We'd be happy about that.
So good. And, you know, money does look better in the near future. And keep thinking outside the box, please. Because that's how you'll make money. And, you know, you left a career that, you know, you sort of were railroaded out of your last job and when you were in New York. So, you know, so much for where that went. But this is now, if you're more in control of your career, that'll never happen again. And do us a favor and call in again because I'm so happy that you're pregnant and it's such good news. Nicole, do you have anything to add with her career? Because Nicole's really good with career stuff because Nicole's always reinvented herself like 87 times.
No, well, I mean, for me, it's you know, kind of like I said in the beginning of the show. You know, I don't know if you were listening all the way in the very, very beginning. You know, just don't, you said very, very early on that, you know, you were bouncing around. You don't know what you want to be when you grow up. Well, nobody really knows what they want to be when they grow up, but you have to try different things and you have to kind of see where your aptitude is. And you have to see not necessarily what you're completely passionate about, but what you can learn to have passion for. You know, Steve Jobs didn't get where he was because he wanted to be in the computer business. He needed a job. And he took whatever job would have him. And that led to another thing. And it led to another thing until within that circle, he found his niche. But had he not just taken whatever job he wanted, there would be no Macintosh. There would be no Steve Jobs. You know, had he not just said, I got to take anything I can get. You know, so, you know, in much in that vein, find something that you have aptitude for and stick with it. And don't forget that finding your passion is also about doing the work associated with that passion.
Exactly. And it should be passion.
Thank
That's
you.
What you said.
Yeah.
She's been saying the word passion. And again, follow your passions. And, you know, everything you've done looks like you're building on, your career will be building on all the skills you have. They're all sort of related.
Okay.
So the more skills we acquire, the more things we can do. But it is always the hard part.
One thing that you should do is you should read. You should definitely, you know, go and you know, I don't know what kind of books you like, but there are so many different books out there that are, you know, available to you, whatever, where even if you know, you can get them on tape like Cindy does if you don't have, you know, that kind of time to sit there and read, you know, I mean, there's so many different books that you can pick up. I mean, I'm a big fan of Simon Sinek, you know, so, you know, that's all about starting with your why. You know, which is a great, great book.
Okay.
It's a very, very easy read. And it's a lot of anecdotes. You know, it's a lot of different situations, you know, that you can kind of go through and see what, you know, what kind of makes you tick, you know, if you kind of reverse engineer what it is that you're looking for. The Four Agreements, or actually now there's the Five Agreements, so I would go for the Fifth Agreement by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Right, those are good.
Also a very, very good book, you know, and it's all about kind of like knowing the self and then letting yourself guide you. And the last thing I would probably recommend is The Culture Code by Dan Coyle. That's like one of my all-time faves. It's a pretty decent read. You know, it gets a little bit technical sometimes, but more importantly, what it does is it goes through the act of not overthinking things. As adults, we get so caught up with status, we get so caught up with what we should be and where we think we should be, that we forget that sometimes the best way to move forward is to just strip everything down and get back to the basics. You know, and in actually in this book, he uses an example. They put a bunch of lawyers and doctors and architects in a building, you know, rather in one room. And they said, okay, listen, you are going to construct a you know, thing of pasta, a building of pasta, and whoever gets the highest is going to win. And they were going up against kindergartners in another room. And the kindergartners beat them. And the reason why the kindergartners beat them was because they literally, they were like a well-oiled machine. They just worked. And they didn't challenge one another. They didn't say, no, do it my way. No, do it my way. They just worked. And it was seamless because all they did was feed off of one another. Because that's all they knew how to do. Meanwhile, you've got the architect saying, oh, you know, we should put a foundation here. And you've got the doctor saying, well, no, you have to do this. And then you had the lawyer saying, no, but it should be done this way. Everybody was so busy trying to be the smartest person in the room that they allowed kindergartners to beat them. You know, and I think that The Culture Code is one book, definitely, especially because you seem to be that, like, you're a little bit like me. That was one thing that let me get my intelligence in check, because I think that I'm a very, very smart person, and sometimes underutilize my know-how, and sometimes I overuse my know-how. And sometimes when I overuse it, I get in my own way. So this is definitely one of those things where it'll teach you how to get out of your own way by paying attention more to the culture that you're around versus the culture that you think you're in.
Exactly. And by the way, Anna, you've read Grant Me a Higher Love, right?
Yes, I have.
And did you get a higher love? I'm going to plug my book here. Did that get you a higher love?
It's been a long ass time, but I did. I followed the steps and talked to Cindy once a year, and I got me a higher love. Absolutely.
So we have two examples of here, people reading Grant Me a Higher Love. Yeah, you can never underestimate how much books can help. One thing that helped me a lot, and I'm going to share this with Anna, is reading an article about imposter syndrome when I was about 24, because I didn't realize then that older souls have a lot of imposter syndrome in general. But imposter syndrome is that older souls never think they're as good at things as they are. They actually have too much humility. They'll never say they can do something they can't. They're not so great at marketing themselves. And so they tend to take a long time to find their way in a career, because they are a little bit of a late bloomers. But I think you need to get out of your way and realize you have a lot of skills and a lot of things you can do, and figure out how you're going to make that money with all those skills. And don't
was another one. You just sparked another one. Factfulness by Hans Rosling. Okay, now this might not necessarily be for you, Anna. It might be. I don't know. But definitely for our listeners out there, you know, for the people out there that think that you know, that have this overall pessimistic view, or think that it's too late, or think that they can't accomplish something, Factfulness is a very, very good book that literally uses statistical information to point out that the world is better than we think it is. Things are much better than we think they are. And it goes by the numbers, and numbers don't lie. So you might think that the world is in one state, and you might think that you're beyond certain things, you know, or that you just can't go back anymore, when in all reality, there's so much opportunity out there, whether you're you know, 20 or 90, you know, and there's so much out there in the world that is right. Then there's so much out there that people are receptive to that you would never, ever even imagine, because we're too busy thinking that the world is too screwed up. So Factfulness is another one that'll give you a lot of great information about why this world is better than we think it is.
Wow. Well, interesting, because I have this funny feeling you're going to call in about 6 months with telling us how you've come up with this great career idea. And
good.
You know, create them out of nowhere. I mean, I was starting to say that when I was a children's entertainer, I was getting too old to be doing that. And I was like, dear God, how am I going to make a living? And I sort of got tricked into doing tarot cards as, you know, entertainment. One of my clients just said, come to my bar mitzvah and do it. And I said, I don't fake anything, but she said, don't fake it, study. So I studied for a year, read about 12 books, didn't think it worked. I was like Whoopi Goldberg going, oh, wow, this stuff works. And yeah. I did it for years just as entertainment. Did I think it was going to be my career? No way in hell. But I got tricked. So kind of follow the leads. You never know. I mean, God knew I needed a more lucrative to do something else. I was getting old. And then the funny part about it is, about eight or nine years ago, I heard the voice of spirit say, okay, now it's time to close up that business. Don't do it anymore. Don't take any more shows for yourself. And I was like, oh, my God, but I'm not making enough money from this to do that. And then I said, well, if that's what you want, then you're going to have to help me make this go. And I got really nervous because for like 3 days I didn't take any shows. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is, what am I doing here? And within 4 days, Newsday named me as one of the best psychic mediums on Long Island, and it flew. So God did what God was expected to do. So kind of trust that we're guided all along in our careers. We just have to pay a little more attention and, you know, keep us posted with it, because I think you post a lot of things. And, of course, think how hard it is for women. You're pregnant. In the past, women only had to worry about being pregnant. Okay.
Yeah.
The husbands took care of the money. You had to worry about the home and that. Now imagine you're a pregnant woman and you're still worrying, what am I going to do? How am I going to make money? Isn't it a lot on women? It's just a lot. So, you know, I would just trust that the universe has your back, knows that you need money for your baby. You know, and keep thinking.
And my
forward.
Husband's great. It's not him. He works and he's great. It's just, it's not easy, you know.
No, and also older souls worry about money a lot. So,
yeah.
you have another mouth to feed. So that's, you know, on your mind too. So, you know, I'm so glad that you shared your little bit, you know, work story with us and your finding, because a lot of people wondering what they're going to do when they grow up. Okay, for sure. And I still don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up fully. So, you know, we always ask that question, you know. And, you know, you want to find that passion, because when you find that passion, you may find you never want to retire.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to.
Right. No, yeah, of course. So that's why we want to do something we love, okay? You know, and very, very much want to do something we love. And, you know, Anna called all the way from Chile. What time is it in Chile?
It is about 10 o'clock at night.
Okay, so you're only about 3 hours. You know,
four
hours off. Bad. Well, we're so glad you called in and shared. And please call in again, because I always love to hear from Anna. And I'm always glad to hear she's not saying, this guy ghosted me. This guy disappeared. What happened to him? Yeah, I'm glad to hear she's concerned with other things now in her life and not wondering, you know, why the relationship didn't work with some stupid guy, because we had years of that, didn't we?
Oh, my gosh. Life is just too short. It's just too short to put up with that crap.
Right, and I needed you to be on the – I mean, I'm so surprised and wonderful that you called in, because – you're a living example of a woman who is starting to get older and wondering, well, am I ever going to have a baby and a husband and a family and all of that? And you were proactive to change your life. And so, again, if you don't want a husband and a family, then that's fine. But if it's part of what you want, then people have to think about, how am I going to get that? And you're not going to get it from a commitment phobic or somebody doesn't want to move it forward. But everyone seems to be so afraid. There's just this, like, so much fear about surrounding love lately. It's astronomical. Yeah. Well, we're just about at the end of our show, so thank you for calling in. You have to, of course, let us know
when
the baby comes.
Okay, I will. Love to the both of you. You too.
Take care.
All right. And bye.
Bye. Okay, now she was the perfect caller for tonight, wasn't she?
Oh, she so was. She so was. I love it when Anna calls.
Oh, me too. And you've known her a long time, too. Really long time. And
yeah. Well, we've been doing the show a long time. I get to know these people.
Yes, and yes, of course. Well, we're going to say goodnight for now, and we will all join on next week. I see Valentine's Day is on a Thursday, so I'm going to put a heads up. We're not having a show on Valentine's Day because nobody will be listening anyway, and we'll have we'll spend it with our mates. Okay, but that is...
You got it.
Okay, so think about making a hot date with your wife for January, for February 14th, okay?
Well, I have no choice because my wife's birthday is February 13th. So it's pretty much a given that it's a birthday / Valentine's Day celebration every year. So,
isn't that funny?
Isn't that funny?
Of course. So you got to do double with that. Well, keep us posted, and thank you for everybody for listening, and everyone have a wonderful week. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye, sweetie.